Hello and welcome to this episode of AF Mentors Podcast. I just had a Commit 6 launch, so I thought I'd come on here and I'd share some lessons with you. It was a pretty successful launch. At the moment, we have 118 signups. I always leave it open till like midweek. So I'm envisioning at least one more because it's Tuesday at 3 p.m. So I reckon we'll probably get at least one more. Now, this isn't my biggest intake ever. I think we've had 150 before. And the point I want to make about this is that most coaches are very guilty of this, of only looking at numbers of new clients joining and forgetting about retention. Because this is the biggest group we've ever had when you add in the committed group, right? So there are over 300 people in the group. Some of those, not very many, but some of those are one-to-ones as well. So anyway, it's the biggest group overall. And that's because we have solid retention. And I had exactly, actually on another point, I've also increased the price. So actually this is the most people we've ever been helping, but also the most money that we've ever been making as well. And I just got off a call with two coaches that I'm working with on AFM who had very similar. They just had an intake. It wasn't a personal best intake for them in terms of like the number of members, the number of new members joining, but it was in terms of revenue. Why? Because they increased the prices and because they've got a retention model. Point here is be careful how you judge your business growth and the pressure that you put on yourself to always have bigger and bigger and bigger intakes. I would be more than happy if I always consistently got 100 people coming in to commit to six, knowing that our retention's good, so we're going to grow. Like, I'd be happy if we consistently got 50 people coming in, but our retention was good, so we were going to grow. Like, that's how you should be thinking about it. Not that you need to get more and more and more every intake. It just sets, like, really big, unrealistic expectations for you. And kind of ignores, you know, the most important part, which to me is retention, because people need to stay for more than 6 weeks if they really want to change their lives and get results. The other thing I noticed, and what I really want to talk about today, and there are probably many factors to this, but I was way less stressed, despite the fact I also had 30 for 30 launching on the same weekend, which was honestly the easiest sell of my life. Why? Because it very distinctly solves one problem very well that I know that my niche has, and that is getting more leads and converting them into clients. Most people are running around like headless chickens, not knowing what to do, having no system in place, and thus not really taking action or taking like little bits of sporadic action in completely different directions and then wondering why they don't have any clients. 30 for 30 stops that. It shows you where to focus your efforts very specifically, and it holds you accountable to taking action. And it gives you a system to do that, which you can use for the rest of your career. Like, that was exactly what I want to create. I'm also going to be adding a bit more to it. If anyone's on it at the moment, like, you have a lot of very, very good stuff coming. But I didn't want to overwhelm people at start. And my point being is I want people to take action. Like, this stuff works if you action it, which means I don't want to give you a million things to do and then you'd be like, oh God, I don't have time to do it. No, no, no. Just do these key things very well. And then I'm going to filter in some extra stuff once you've got on top of that. Anyway, the other thing I want to say about, I want to talk about being stressed, right? So being completely transparent, I think I was less stressed this intake because of a few things. One, it was not the week before my period, which has a huge impact on my mood, on my productivity, on I would say on my resilience. Like, a lot of the time, like, real, you know, like, shit will hit the fan, and even sometimes Maureen will message me and be like, oh my God, we've got this big problem. And I'm like, hey, it's okay. We deal with it. We get stuff done. Like, it's fine. And other times I'm like, oh my God, the tiniest thing's gone wrong and I just want to quit everything. And usually that is related to the time of the month. So that was quite nice. That doesn't always happen and you can't always schedule your, you know, launches around your cycle. But hey, when it does work out, works out well. The second one is I had a very clear and actionable plan. Can't lie, a lot of the time when I do launches, I'm like, oh shit, Commit to Six opens in 10 days. I've not said anything about it. But like, oh, okay. Right, what do I need to do? No. This time I was like, okay, cool. I know when the launch date is. I've got a plan. I know what I'm doing 2 weeks before. It was very good. I'm very impressed. The third thing is I pushed an early bird offer and I got a decent number of clients. So I wasn't under this kind of like extra pressure. Now, I often find myself the week before commit to six thinking, how the hell am I going to fill numbers? And I'm always like on the phone to Zoe being like, oh, this is so bad. Like, what am I going to do? These are the lowest numbers we've ever had. And she's like, you say this every single intake. And I'm like, give me some reassurance. Anyway, this time I didn't have that. And also remember that it's not just self-imposed pressure when you've got four coaches who are relying on you to fill up those numbers, or they don't have clients and they don't make money. Like, there's an extra layer of pressure. It's not just me being like, oh, I'd really like to hit these numbers. It's like, okay, well, I have people who rely on me, so I need to hit these numbers, right? And then the fourth thing is I am doing pretty well at taking care of myself. I'm focusing on sleeping well. I have bi-weekly therapy. I am exercising daily. I feel very on top of ADHD tendencies at the moment. I have reduced the amount of one-to-one calls that I do on AFM. I switch off earlier in the day. That's not always true, actually. Because I was going to say, when I was in London, I was co-working a lot and I'd work into a lot later than what I was normally working, but it was mad how productive I was. Anyway, more on that at another point. I would say I'm just happier generally, and I think you can underestimate how much of an impact that energy has on your business and how easy like little things trip you up when you don't have that level of like, okay, well, I'm resilient, I'm taking care of myself and I'm resilient, which means when stuff does go wrong, which by the way it does no matter what, it seems like a small thing that's gone wrong that I can get on with and fix versus, oh my god, I just want to give up, or like, oh, this is so stressful. Like, there's a lot less overwhelm, even though on paper I would say the exact same thing, the exact same like amount of things went wrong. Like, fine. If not, slightly more, if I'm not going to lie. I also did the early bird slightly differently. So I said that I only had 50 spaces at early bird. This seemed to work a lot better than saying you've got X amount of days, or like the first week is early bird. I don't really know why, but using a certain number to create scarcity, don't know why I said it like that, scarcity. I don't know the psychology of it really, but I roll with it because it's working, so try it. I also pushed pretty hard on stories with call to actions, but it wasn't just shit call to action. It wasn't just like, hey, commit to six is starting, if you want to join, why don't you message me. I thought about the social proof I was using. I didn't share all of it, much to Maureen's annoyance. I shared specific things that I had specific things to say about it, and I thought about key problems and I used them to prompt people. I also focused on like two key problems. One of them was scale weight and having a novel solution for that, which was 30HD. And the other one was PCOS. Now, the latter, PCOS, was less kind of like thought out and structured and more just because I'm finding it really interesting at the moment, right? It's a big interest of mine. I find the science of it really interesting. I've done quite a lot of research on it recently. And when I'm interested about something, I find it really easy to sell. Like, don't underestimate your passion. If I'm bored about talking about something, I can't do it. Maybe that's an ADHD trait. Maybe that's a human trait. I don't know. But if I'm excited about something, like, I just love talking about it, and that energy comes across. And I'm actually pretty bad at selling anything that I'm not really excited about. And that's partly why I pick different focuses for each launch, because then I can get excited about it as well. And that's why I sold 30 for 30 as I wrote it. I filled the 30 early bird spaces within the first few days because I was sharing it as I was writing it. I was like, this is exciting. Like, this is, I was fully into it. Now, if you write it all, this is what a lot of people do. They'll write it all, they'll come up with their whole program. They're so excited when they're in it. And then they're like, okay, and then I'll wait like another week until it's 2 weeks before the launch. And then I'll start selling it. And it's like, your excitement for it's gone. This is exactly why I'm doing this podcast now, because I wrote the notes for it 5 minutes ago. And I was like, I'm excited about talking about this now. I don't want to come back to it in a week and then do it then. Like, I'm going to do it now and I'm going to put it out. Like, in fact, I think I have one scheduled for tomorrow. Anyway, my point being, do it when you're excited about it and you'll be surprised at the difference. I use the exact process that I teach on 30 for 30 to get into conversations with the right people, the people who have said that they have the problem that I help them with, because I have prompted them with my content to put their hand up and say, I have that problem. And then I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Where did that come from? I'm not afraid to tell them how I can help them, i.e. to actually sell to them. Right, this is the next common problem that comes up. I also did niche-specific podcasts every single day in the week leading up. I was in people's heads for a full 6 days in a row. Is that sustainable long-term? No, but it's totally doable for the week leading up to a launch. I also sent 3 or 4 emails. One was a very simple call to action. Hey, you joined the waiting list. Now you can sign up. There's only X amount of early bird spaces. The other one was about their ADHD and the results that we got from the group. So a bit of social proof, a bit of a unique novel construct. And then the final one was social proof, that was a comment from somebody in the group who had said that she was so glad that she signed up when she did. And it was almost a year ago and she thought about delaying it. And then actually 6 weeks later at the start of the next intake, she was like, I was so glad that I signed up when I did, because I felt so much better already and I knew that I would have just been in the position I was in before. And that latter one works very, very well. Like, if you can essentially get your clients to sell for you, yeah, works very well. When it comes to social proof, be consistent, but don't overdo it with volume, right? Nobody's reading 3, 4, 5 screenshot check-ins on your story. It is boring as hell, right? Pick 1 to 2 a day, or 1 to 2 a story cycle, and say something about them. Don't just put up a screenshot and expect people to read it. Tell people why they should read it. If you struggle with this, or look at what this client said about this, or I'm so proud of this because of this, or this is why I coach, you know, like something like that, then a strong call to action. Do you want to find out more about this? Message me, commit. It didn't feel stressful, but now that I'm talking through that, I'm like, oh, actually, you know, I did quite a lot. And again, you will find, if you stop overthinking stuff, if you stop telling yourself you're stressed, if you stop, you know, telling yourself that you're overwhelmed with all this stuff, you find that your work output is so much higher and so much more enjoyable. And when you're not stressed, you can do more. And it's more fun. And people are attracted to happy, fun, excited people. And then the final thing I want to say is that I also started to think about Instagram slightly differently. And what I've been thinking is that it's less about followers and it's more about topics and interests, right? And I'm writing something for the 30 for 30 team and obviously anyone on AFM. And it's called Teach the Algorithm Technique, or TAT for short. And if you're on it, this will probably change how you think about Instagram. If you're not, then you should probably join AFM. I will elaborate on this on the mastermind. I'm actually not going to go into it here. I might do a podcast generally on it at some point, but it's basically how you can teach the algorithm who to send your content to and how specific you need to be with the content that you're putting out. And it's something that I've been testing and it works very well. I'd also like to point out that my Instagram has not grown in actually really quite a while. And a couple of weeks ago, it shrunk a little bit. But anyway, I know exactly why. And I know that my business is growing despite the fact my Instagram is not. And I'm going to teach you how to do that. Like, it's not, it's really about topics and niche specific content and not about how many people are following you. And in fact, you might even want, well, you certainly don't want followers that aren't interested in what you're doing. Not just because you're like, oh, it's not going to grow my business, but for other reasons too. Anyway, I'm going to stop kind of like half teasing this because I'm going to write a full lesson on it for 30 for 30. As I said, I will elaborate on a few of these points on the mastermind this week. So if you're not on AFM, you should think about joining. this is also the benefit of having a mentor who actually still coaches. Like, I live and breathe this stuff. I'm doing numerous launches. I mean, probably more than most people because I have numerous businesses, right? But I'm testing this and I share what works and what doesn't work. So if you want to join AFM, click the link below, book a call with me. Let's see if you're a good fit and let's see if we can help you.